Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birth Worker Podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, let's get into it. Hey there, welcome back to Birth Worker Podcast. You're listening to episode 123. Today on the podcast, I get to have an amazing chat with the Yolanda Norris Clark. I am so excited to share this conversation with you guys because it is different than the normal episodes that I have here. We are not really talking about birth, and to be honest, we're not really talking about business either. We are talking about the concepts that she teaches inside of her book called Portal. Portal is available now everywhere that you can buy books, and it is called Portal, The Art of Choosing Orgasmic, Pain-Free, Blissful Birth. So without any further ado, let's jump into the episode. One of the things that I wanted to just bring attention to, and it's one of the very first things I noticed about this book, is the title of it, and specifically the use of the word choosing. I feel like the use of the word choosing goes over so many people's heads. And so I would just love to hear how you chose this title. Did you purposefully use the word choosing when you talked about orgasmic, pain-free, blissful birth? And what did that process look like in choosing the title for this book?
Oh, yeah. I was very deliberate in my choice of words in the title and hopefully in the rest of the book as well. But yeah, really, I mean, I've received so much feedback since the book has been released from a lot of different people from different walks of life, you know, mothers, birth workers, but also people who are not really involved in birth and even non-mothers who've read the book and who have said, you know, what really strikes me is that this is kind of a book about birth, but it's also kind of not necessarily just about birth. It really is about the power that we have to choose. Really, what I actually increasingly see is every circumstance, everything in our lives comes down to choosing. And I definitely know, and from my own experience, that we can choose the kind of birth that we have on a number of different levels. So obviously, you know, in practical ways, context, but also we can choose whether or not our birth is orgasmic and blissful or intense and painful and excruciating, as I chose many times myself. So yeah, I was very, very deliberate in that, in my choice of title. And I do see choosing as a kind of art form. I think that we can teach ourselves to understand the concept of choice, in deeper and more, effective ways in our lives, in every application. So yeah. Yeah. Thank you for noticing that.
Yeah. I love it. Do you find pushback on the use of that word, or rather like the use of that concept of we have the free will and we have the choice and the choice to determine how we move through things and whether or not it's birth or life or mothering or anything else? Do you find that triggers people?
Oh, enormously, enormously. Yeah. I've also found, though, that the pushback and the triggering and the objections around this idea have lessened the more that I've stepped into talking about it and teaching about it. And maybe that's just, I don't know. I don't know what that's about, but I suspect that it's a combination of things. I think it's probably that just my work is now resonating much more so with people who are on the same wavelength. And so the people who are triggered and upset by it are, you know, not really hanging out in my circles as much. But I also notice, and again, this is all filtered through the lens of my own consciousness, but my sense is that there are so many more people these days who are really interested in exploring how powerful they are and exploring this concept of radical self-responsibility, and who are really excited by that. And, you know, I find in my own life the more that I am willing to acknowledge that all of the bad, horrible, terrible, wrong, unfair things that have happened to me are actually of my own making and of my own choosing, the more interesting and exciting and expansive and full of possibility life gets. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. I've grown, I would say, an audience on social media over the years just through birthwork. And I've never had so many people triggered and unfollow me and like come into my DMs and tell me they're unfollowing me when I went through a abdominal pregnancy, like an ectopic pregnancy in my abdomen earlier this year. And I actually had a beautiful experience. And the fact that I chose to have a beautiful experience through that ectopic pregnancy triggered people so bad. And so I just love your testimony there. I find it so true myself.
Yeah. Wow, that's really amazing. I'm gonna go and explore your story after our call together. I didn't know you experienced that. And I'm sorry because I know that's a challenging thing, but I just love so much that you were willing and able and willing really to to experience that in a beautiful way. I think it's possible in every part of life. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Is Portal the first book that you've ever written?
It is. It is the first kind of official put together. It's a real thing. Book that I've written. Yeah.
I mean, you've been a writer your whole life. Yeah.
I have been. Yeah. And I've written in a lot of various ways. I've done journalism and I've, just written tons of essays. And I think I'm fairly well known as a writer, but there really is something kind of very tangible about actually writing a book. And it was a terrifying and wonderful and exciting process. So, yeah, first book.
Yeah. Tell us more about the process of writing it. How did it actually, come to be? What inspired it?
Well, Portal, my first book, actually, funnily enough, came to be really through another art that I really excel at, and that is procrastination and, self-limiting and perfectionism. Actually, I like to say, and I think this is very true, that that I cured myself or resolved my tendency to procrastinate and to wallow in self-doubt and to make up the story that, I'm not good enough through the process of actually writing it. So it's no longer true that I'm a perfectionist anymore because look, I made this book and it's not perfect and never will be. So that's great. But it actually came to be because I was basically making up every possible excuse under the sun to not complete these other two book projects that I've been actually working on for a lot longer. So I have two manuscripts that are in the works right now. And as I was working on them, I was also going through my previous pregnancy and then the birth of our son Helio, and I had this mind-blowing, orgasmic, pain-free, blissful birth that I realized that I had chosen, and I felt like I really had cracked a kind of code, not only in regards to how birth works and what birth means, but also in this larger concept of choosing and self-responsibility. And so I just had to, I was kind of touched by the muse, and I had to set aside these other projects and allow this material to come through. And so that's kind of how Portal came into being. But it's also really the culmination of my 20 years of work in the world of birth and birth witnessing and midwifery and mothering and birthing my own almost 10 babies. So yeah, it was a little bit of a roundabout thing. But it had to happen. That was a really interesting and potent exercise in like really deeply listening to the voice of the muse and to my own intuition and inspiration and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Did this kind of come after the birth of your eighth baby? If I remember correctly, I think that was one of the hardest birth experiences that you've had, for lack of, better word or time. Do you think that almost like lit a fire in you to do something different when it comes to your ninth birth experience?
Oh, absolutely. Because when I actually, I had a little bit of a thought after our eighth baby was born that like, this is it, you know, it's kind of like, this has gone on far enough. You've like, there's enough babies and, you know, like just get over it. Right. But also it was such a dark descent into the underworld, that eighth birth. And it was, there was just so much around that and so much victimhood that I chose. And it was just kind of, yeah, a very dramatic birth. And our son is just such, that was the birth of Ignatius, who's now 4 years old. And he's just such a little sweetheart, such a delight in every way. And so it's so interesting how I think that our children are absolutely, their personalities come through in their births. I think, you know, we ourselves as mothers give birth as a full reflection of who we are at the time. And then it's also that our babies are coming through in such a powerful expression of exactly who they are, but it's not always like an immediately discernible expression of who they are. But anyway, I see elements of who Iggy is. Like, he's actually very careful, very considerate, like very methodical, you know, really lots of interesting stuff about who our children are in regards to how they come into the world. But one of the things I thought about after that birth was that I don't think I can go through this again. It was so scary, actually. It was a very scary birth for me. And when I was having those thoughts that, you know, maybe I'm done. I just, at that point, I didn't have the perspective that I gained later on. And so when I discovered that I was indeed pregnant with our ninth baby, a really big part of my journey to receiving the insights that I describe in Portal was recognizing that there must be some other alternative path, because I actually had, especially in the beginning stages of my pregnancy with Helio, I was having regular panic attacks about the birth process. And that was, there was a lot of dissonance in that, because, you know, on one hand, I'm supposed to be this sort of pro, and I did ultimately know that this was going to be fine. You know, I just give birth and it would be fine. But there was a layer of real fear and anxiety that ended up being such a gift and was part of, discovering what was actually possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay. I just want to dive into what you just mentioned, because this is something that I talk about a lot, but it's hard to like find the tangible, you know, examples. And that is, as birth workers, if we try and save women from the bad things, from the bad birth experiences, often we're doing them a disservice. I would actually say all of the time we're doing them a disservice, because sometimes it is those scary births or quote unquote bad outcome births that then lead to some sort of, you know, download that you had when you were pregnant with your ninth, which is fantastic. It's beautiful. I love that you had that scary birth experience, because look at what's come from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the big like issues in the world of birth work is that so many of the approaches that are taught and repeated and kind of promulgated in various ways to birth work are fundamentally rooted in this idea that it's our job to be lifeguards, to save women, to fix birth, to, you know, and that's just not how I see it at all. And I think that actually there's just so many, so many problems arise from that, I think, flawed, and it's not even flawed. It's a dysfunctional approach to, and I really mean that quite seriously. It's an approach to birth that sees pregnancy and birth really as forms of dysfunction, and hardship as dysfunction, and struggle is like, none of those are actually a problem. Like, pain is also not a problem. I definitely think it's optional. I know that it's optional. I know that it's a choice ultimately, which, yes, is a very triggering concept, but it's also not a problem to choose pain. It's not a problem to choose resistance and struggle. And it doesn't mean that, yeah. I mean, I actually have come to the perspective that, yeah, just as you said, even births that, I mean, yeah, this is a very deep, these are deep philosophical concepts, really, because ultimately I don't see death as a problem. And that's a very taboo admission. You know, a lot of people will have a huge problem hearing that. And it's just like, what are you going to do about it? Like, if you see death as a, yeah, as a problem or an obstacle to overcome, or as a, you know, a glitch that should be solved, that we should be striving as a culture or as a people to solve, then you're creating this, a very different world than what is aligned with biological reality, as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, I mean, that's also an option. That's what we're seeing happening in the world, you know, in the world of all of this proliferating technology. And that's great if that's what you want, but I choose differently. And I maintain that as a human being, we really have an indelible right to both birth and death.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. You know, one of my favorite conversations that you and Emily have had that I have listened to was a conversation that you guys had about how choosing to play the victim is actually like quite fun sometimes. And it's never about like trying to get beyond this or above this, or, you know, staying quote unquote above the line or whatever, you know, whatever way people use to talk about these concepts. It's not about that at all. I think it comes more like the beauty is actually in the awareness of what's going on rather than like how you're actually acting. So I love that you bring that concept in too, because it's never like this is the right way. The right way is to be above this. The right way is to see this all. No, that's not true at all. Sometimes playing the victim and being ignorant is like part of the human dance. It's part of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm constantly feeling victimized by various aspects of my life. And I mean, it's a burden to, I understand why people don't like want to touch this, actually, because there is an aspect of like once you allow yourself to become aware of how victim consciousness really works, then you kind of can't unsee it and you can't unlearn it. And then you kind of just have to like see yourself. And that's humbling, you know. we're quite gross a lot of the time. Like, I disgust myself in my perpetual commitment to victimhood in various ways. But I also have actually had the experience, quite truly, of noticing that I am able to learn and I am able to shift out of that with more efficiency, like just a little tiny bit. And even that little tiny bit makes such a huge difference. And I see the results in my life, in all of the various branches of my life, as a mother, as a wife, in my business. And it's so amazing to me how much potential we have as human beings to really fulfill our creative impulse. And that to me, like from birth to throughout our entire lives. I mean, the beliefs that we have absorbed as true in this culture, which I actually really think stem from birth in large part. You know, birth really is the source in my view, but it affects every part of our lives. And we have the capacity for so much more in every area. And as birth workers, as birth witnesses, I mean, this is such a powerful calling. And when we can approach the support of mothers and babies in birth holding and representing and standing for the capacity that all women have to own their experience and to choose their experience, as opposed to seeking to fix and save and rescue. We are actually having such a monumentally more profound effect on mothers and babies. And the trick there, though, is that on the face of it, on the surface, there are a lot more cookies to get if we position ourselves as the hero and the savior. Because when we save a mother from her birth, or we tell ourselves that that's what we're doing, we tell her that that's what we're doing, then afterwards, it's going to be, oh, yay, I couldn't have done it without my midwife, and thank you, you're so wonderful, and you saved my baby's life. And there's a real ego rush to that. And so what I've found is that birth work in integrity, as I see it, you know, authentic midwifery, as I see it, you choose to invisibilize yourself. Not in the room necessarily. I mean, there's lots of nuance to that, but you're not going to get the big stories and the big shout outs on social media. And it's a much more subtle thing. And so one of the most important aspects, I think, of integral birth work is just getting over yourself and realizing that this birth is not about you and that you're not required. And, you know, that's such an important concept. Like, I think the most effective midwives and birth workers recognize that the mother doesn't need them. And, you know, my goal when I'm working with a mother is to support her in such a way that by the end of her pregnancy, she totally doesn't feel like she needs me to be there. And I want to work myself out of a job. It's such a delight when women whose births I've supported, send me a text and say, hey, you know, I'm pregnant with another baby and, you know, totally don't need you this time. So just wanted to let you know, like, it's so great when I feel like I've done right when that happens. So.
Oh, I love that. You know, I feel like you're such a great example of understanding who your perfect community is. And, you know, marketing terms would be like who your perfect client is. You know, this. Everyone who's listening to this podcast knows this because we've all pretty much been there. But when we start in birth work, we just are so passion driven. We're so fired up. We're not really sure, you know, how this is actually going to work for us. We want to serve everyone from conception to pregnancy to birth and postpartum and VBACs and home births and free births and cesareans and whatever you want. I'm going to do whatever you want because I'm here for you. That's like, I feel like it's taught in doula trainings across the world. And one of the big fears behind that is, I don't want to offend people. If I speak my truth, I'll offend people. Or I don't want to like speak myself out of a job. If I only serve, you know, people who want to have a home birth, that's only, you know, 2%, 1% of the population. I actually need money. I need to serve more. I need to help more. I have so much to give. But you are such a prime example of someone who's just, you serve like the smallest subset of the smallest subset of women, not only women who want to have a home birth, but women who want to, you know, honestly, most of the people who would hire you aren't going to because they don't want to hire anyone either. So it's beautiful, like how you've done this, but also how you have in the end actually not worked yourself out of a job. Like you still have this amazing career and you're serving women across the world. Would you touch on that process just a little bit of, did you always know exactly who you wanted to serve? Did you always speak to them? And do you ever have doubts that maybe you are legitimately working yourself out of a job?
Oh gosh, no. I mean, I don't. So it is true, I think, at this point. Well, I'm assuming that it's true. I don't really know if I actually believe any of the statistics that we're supposed to, you know, accept. So who knows, right? I mean, I'm not even sure about how many people are on this planet, to be honest, which I know is a crazy idea, but who knows, right? We're all just like, we're like, we Google it and then that's true. So who knows about what's going on there? But What I do know is that, and this is how I have approached my work in birth from the very beginning, I absolutely know that every woman deep down wants to experience birth as the glorious, euphoric, transcendent experience that it is designed to be. So I'm never really thinking about the fact, you know, this idea that, well, only 2% of women are interested in home birth, or, you know, that to me is like, that's an abstraction that is coming from a very kind of negative, limited, lack-based perspective, right? Like, to my mind, who doesn't want this incredible experience? Like, this is what we're made for. And so I move through the world with these sort of two coexisting assumptions. And that's that literally every woman wants this. How could you not? It's the best thing ever. It's like what we're created for. Motherhood is glorious. Birth is glorious. Of course. And also, I'm in my business. So I'm not interested in converting anyone. I'm not interested in like changing anyone's mind. If you're not interested in what I have to say, awesome, then go find your people. Like, no big deal. So I think there's a sense of like when you can really get to that place where, and I think that's what I'm describing, is like, I just feel very, very totally secure in what I know to be true and who I am as well. And I'm completely at peace with the inarguable fact that there are some people who just can't stand me and who don't like me and don't want to hear what I have to say. I'm like, of course, that's true for literally everyone, no matter what. Like, you know, so whether or not you know, this idea of not speaking your truth on the basis of the fear that someone is going to be offended or dislike what you have to say or disagree with you, to my mind, that's like, that doesn't even compute. Like, of course, people are already going to be offended and disagree with you. So just say what you have to say. And the more that I have been willing to speak what's true, and the more that I have been willing to, just really refine my perspective, the more that my audience has become both enormous and refined. So like, it's just a win-win, you know, it's a win always. And when people fall away because they disagree with me, or, you know, people leave my sphere, that's great. There's more room for all of the people who are interested. And so I think that the more that we, each of us as individual women, as birth keepers, as business owners, really in any field, are just willing to be exactly who we are, then that also has a kind of reverberation in the wider world, and everyone gets to fall into the place where they belong, and it really just works out for everyone. So yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I know this is a theme in your book too, and I know it's a theme just in every aspect of your life, but it's that lack of attachment. The lack of attachment, that ease, that flow. And you had mentioned earlier, it's like we still get into, you know, our own shit, but it's like a little less sticky. Like we stay there just for a little bit less time. And that less time makes all the difference. So I love how this is not just, you know, a book that you had one birth experience that changed your world and you went and wrote a book. No, this is like, everything in this book is like how you're actually living your life day to day. Yes, it has to do with birth, but like, yeah, but also it's so much bigger than that. Do you have a favorite concept from your book?
Oh my goodness. That's a terrible question, Kylie. What's my favorite concept from my own book? Oh dear. Oh gosh. I think really just overall, it's that I think the favorite concept that I use in my life, that I've really tried to impart in the book, I said this earlier in our conversation, but really it's that we have infinite creative power. We have infinite creative power. I truly now believe that there is infinite abundance in this world. I know that's a bit of a you know, that's one of those sort of new agey concepts that people roll their eyes about. But I really, really see that as true. Like there's so much fear propaganda out there, around what it is to be a mother, around what it is to be pregnant, around the birth experience, around birth keeping, and how like risky and scary, and like you gotta like just supporting each other in birth is just as simple actually and basic as it is to be pregnant and be a mother. And we just overcomplicate things to such a crazy degree. And it's the same fear, actually. You know, all of these are just different forms of the same fear, but it's the same fear that's being promoted around, you know, the crashing economy. And that's not to say that there are not terrible, terrible things happening in the world. I totally am aware of that. And I also think that the terrible things are part of the tapestry. And as individuals, we go through times of ease and times of hardship in various ways. And there's no hierarchy of value in terms of, you know, the kinds of birth choices that we make. But we have so much more power than we're led to believe in every single instance, in every single context. And I do truly think that the key, like the key to the kingdom, is the power of self-responsibility and self-awareness and self-ownership and choice. And it's an art form when we can learn it. And that's such a beautiful thing. So it's kind of my book in a nutshell.
I love it. Okay. Tell us not only where we can go to get the book, but also will you tell us just a little bit about the community that you have?
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. So I have a private membership community, and it's online, but it's in a private, it's like a social media space, but it's only for us. And it's a very special space where I'm present and I give lots of feedback on any topic under the sun. The focus of the community is women's lives, motherhood, and birth, and also self-healing. So this is another topic that I feel really, really passionate about. I've been studying the Germanic healing framework and various forms of self-healing, and I've sort of put together my own approach to self-healing. So we do monthly calls on self-healing and how to facilitate the resolution of various healing programs in the body. And then, of course, we have regular calls on pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. And that's called the Bauhaus Wife Birth Community. And you can find that on Instagram. And my book, Portal, The Art of Choosing Orgasmic Pain-Free Blissful Birth. I always have to think through the title for a moment. It is now available on Amazon. And I know that Amazon is what Amazon is. And so I made that choice. But it's there. And you can order it on Kindle as well as on like a dead tree paper format. And I'm working on the Audible audiobook version very soon. So
yeah. That was my next question. I think we're all like, we just want to hear the book in your voice. Yeah. So I can't wait to get that Audible version. That'll be great.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the episode. I'm going to have all of Yolanda's links in the show notes. So if you're interested in buying her book, joining her community, or checking out her course that starts in a few weeks, you can go to the show notes and find all of those links. I highly recommend her course, which is called Portal, just like her book. It is a childbirth course that I signed up for myself earlier in 2023, and I cannot recommend it enough. So if you are a doula who's interested in learning some of the concepts that Yolanda talks about in this episode or even in her book, or if you are a mom who's expecting or planning to conceive soon, definitely check out her course Portal. I will have that linked in the show notes, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week.